Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
All right, for the time being, we are leaving behind this test of false teachers found in 1 John 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. And we come to a different subject that has to do with the people of God and the idea of being victorious overcomers. Why God's people are always victorious in this evil world. Now that's the statement that I make that summarizes verses 4, 5, and 6. Of course, it needs to be understood and qualified, which we're going to do in the course of working our way through these verses. But nevertheless, it is a true statement and an intriguing one. Why God's people are always victorious in this evil world. And we will find out why as we study this text. Now, we've got to think about where we have come from so that we can understand where we are going. John has been talking about exercising discernment, recognizing error, being able to accurately and properly test teachers to see if they are of God, recognizing that Satan promotes counterfeit religion. Not always in the realm of Christianity alone. All false religions are promoted by our adversary, the devil, because if he can ensnare somebody in a false religion, whether it's a corrupted version of Christianity or something else, then of course he keeps them from coming to Jesus Christ, the only Savior of the world. And so Satan is a great promoter of religion. That might come as a surprise to you. That might be a new thought to many of you, that the biggest, listen to me now, the biggest advocate of religion is Satan himself. So many people in our day seem to take the concept that anything religious is good and wholesome, and only those things that are antagonistic toward religion are bad and probably are satanic. Well, the things that are antagonistic to religion are no doubt satanic, but Satan has got a franchise on both corners in this area. It's kind of like the businessman who buys out his competitor, and then sets up two shops. He's got his on one corner, and what formerly was his competitor's one on the other corner, and he sells out of both shops, and he makes money no matter which shop people buy at, his or the other one. He's going to make a profit either way. And that's the way Satan is. It doesn't matter whether people adopt an anti-religious spirit. That's fine. That'll certainly send them to hell if they keep that up for all of their life. Or if they adopt a false religion, that's fine. That'll send them to hell if they keep that up to the end of their life. Satan has got them either way. He's the greatest promoter of religion in all the world. As long as it isn't the true religion of the Bible, the true religion of Jesus Christ. Well, I've got to pause and welcome you to this Wednesday, September 19 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thank those whose financial gifts enable us to teach God's Word on this station. So the subject has been discernment, how to tell true teachers from false ones, how to recognize false teachers and their errors, how we will recognize true teachers and their sound doctrine. And the question is, therefore, will some of God's people be swept away by the devil's devices? We in considering this subject of discernment between true and false teachers, we keep bumping into this reality of false teachers. And the question is, are God's people going to be deceived? Are they going to be swept away? And that's why these next verses that follow in verses 4, 5, and 6 of 1 John are so encouraging and important, because they show us why God's people are not sometimes, not can be, but are always victorious over this kind of satanic deception. And there are three verses, and each of them begins with the pronoun, which is emphatic in the original language. It is you in verse 4, and they in verse 5, and we in verse 6. Let me read it. You are of God, little children. This is verse 4, 1 John 4, 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Verse 5. They are of the world. Therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. Verse 6. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Okay, let's break this down, starting with verse 4. And the question is, what about the saints? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. This is the first pronoun, you. And John is talking about Christians anywhere and everywhere. Wherever there are born-again children of God, this is what is true of them. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So he talks, first of all, about the origin of the saints. You are of God. You are from God, generated by God. You are of God. You belong to God. Now, I don't need to remind you that nobody is of God by their first birth, by their natural condition, by being born into this world. The only way that anybody is of God is by virtue of the new birth, by that birth which comes from above, that birth which is brought about by the work of the Spirit of God. In other words, God's work is what produces God's children. It's as clear and simple as that. But think it through. How do people become the children of God? And there are several answers to that that are correct as we look at this question from different angles, but this is the one that I want to emphasize at the moment. Anyone who is a child of God is a child of God because of the new birth, and we can't birth ourselves. We don't birth ourselves the first time with the physical birth, and we don't birth ourselves the second time with the spiritual birth, with either the old birth or the new birth, the first birth or the second birth. We don't do it. We're not responsible for it. We don't bring it about, either one. And therefore, if you're a child of God because of the new birth, it's because God birthed you into his family. It is God who has made you his child. You are of God. Verse 4. And so, of the saints, those who are truly the people of God, their origin is from God. Their victory is that they overcome because of who they are. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Have overcome them. Who? Those identified with Antichrist, back to verse 3. And those who are identified as false prophets, going all the way back to verse 1. These false teachers who come and make their subtle and seductively attractive claims to be representatives of God, and they have their teaching that seems to be so attractive to some people, it is not going to be attractive to God's true children. You are of God and have overcome them. Those who are Antichrist. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, as now already in the world. Verse 3, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, those who represent the spirit of Antichrist. You have overcome them, perfect tense, have already overcome them. And of course, we're not talking about a physical conquest. We're talking about the ability to, the reality of resisting their deception and error and remaining true to Christ and to His Word. That's the victory of God's people. If you belong to God, you will overcome false teachers and their deception. And why is that so? What is it that makes that happen? What is it that enables people to overcome false teachers and their deception? Well, here it is. Because, this is, tells us the reason why, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Who is in believers? The Holy Spirit. That's what he's told us in chapter 3, verse 24, and again in chapter 4, verse 13. The Holy Spirit is in all true believers. Who is in the world? Well, the spirit of Antichrist, Satan. We're told that in a number of ways in the preceding verses that we've already covered leading up to verse 4. So, the Spirit of God is in God's true children. The spirit of Satan, of Antichrist and so forth, is in the false teachers. Now, who's greater? Who is more powerful? Who is greater? The spirit of Antichrist or the spirit of God? The spirit who energizes the false teachers or the spirit who has brought into being the children of God by the new birth and who indwells the children of God, having been given to every true child of God by God Himself, and therefore protects us and fortifies us and guides us and guards us? And who is stronger, the spirit of God or the spirit of Antichrist? Or to put it another way, who is stronger, God or Satan? And the answer is clearly God. And therefore the conclusion is God's children cannot fail to overcome Satan because they have been born of God and they are indwelt by God, and they therefore overcome false teachers. If you put verses 3 and 4 together, I think you can see this more clearly. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So, are saints going to be swept away by these false teachers and their deception? Nope. So what does that say about people who are deceived and swept away? They're not the true children of God. You don't have to worry about God's true children being deceived. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." A hireling, a false shepherd, they will not follow. They don't recognize the voice of the Savior in His words, but they recognize the voice of the Savior in the words of truth, and therefore they respond to that. And it is the indwelling Holy Spirit that makes that so. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.